Welcome to the 13 Skulls, a journey into a world that is just beyond our comprehension, the world of the paranormal.
Welcome to the 13 Skulls podcast. In this episode, we're going to take a look at a listener email and call-in, possible military action against a UFO, a new apartment high-rise in Shanghai, China falls over, a UFO that's seen over Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch, and a video of a UFO that releases intelligent moving spheres. That and much more coming up in this 28th episode of the 13 Skulls podcast. Welcome back to the show, everybody. My name is TJ. If you haven't listened to the show before, I'm coming to you from Fort Worth, Texas. Let's go ahead and get the formalities buried in the dirt and out of the way. If you want to shoot me an email, the emails to the show are the13skulls@gmail.com or info@the13skulls.com. If you feel like you want to call and leave me a voicemail, tell me your experiences, your feedback, comments, whatever, the phone numbers are 206-338-2205 or 817-986-0019. And if you really want to support the show, give me a review on iTunes, give me a vote on Podcast Alley, or let me know where you're listening from by signing the Frapper map. So let's go ahead and start on with the show. All right, well, the first thing that I wanted to take a look at this episode, you guys, is an email that I received from Ankh. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It could be Ankh, I'm not really sure. But anyway, either way, thanks for sending in your experience. I really do appreciate it. The email says, "Hi, TJ, I wanted to share an experience I had a while ago. 8 years ago, or around there, a friend and I decided to get an apartment together. We had limited funds, and my roommate had really bad credit, so our options were fairly limited. Unfortunately, we had just happened to drive past a great place in Hillcrest, which is a charming urban area of San Diego. The majority of the homes in this area are 100 plus year old Craftsman homes. Most of them have been converted to apartments. The apartment we found was one of these conversions. The upstairs of this house had been made into a two bedroom apartment. The layout was a little odd. You walked into the front door straight into the kitchen, which flowed into a large, around 7 or 8 feet across and 25 foot long hallway, which then led into a small living room that was had windows on three sides. Our bedrooms were on opposite sides of the hallway. Before moving in, we decided to paint the whole place, since the previous tenants seemed to favor Easter egg colors. It was evening, and we were first painting my roommate's bedroom. We figured the fastest way would be to each start on opposite ends of the room and rotate until we had the whole room completed. As we were working, I kept seeing a figure standing in the doorway of the room. I saw him numerous times that evening, but didn't mention it until my roomie asked me if I had seen a man. We compared notes and both seemed to see a male figure, wearing brown breeches and a loose pale shirt, with a large brimmed hat on. We searched the apartment, but found nothing. The front door was locked and the windows were too high for anyone to climb into. We eventually moved all of our stuff in and I chose to paint my room by myself. My bedroom had two large walk-in closets on opposite sides of the room, with bare bulb lights in each one. I was painting one of the closets when the light started flickering. I kept checking it and even changed the bulb. Initially, I figured the fixture itself was faulty, but couldn't shake the feeling that I was not alone. Finally, almost as a joke, I got fed up and sternly said, "I don't care if you play with the lights, but I'm trying to paint here. Play with the other lights." To my surprise, the light in the other closet started flickering, and the other one stopped. Now, I'm not one to be intimidated, so I just resigned myself to live with some kind of spirit. Over the next few weeks, my roomie and I determined that there was definitely something in our apartment. The light in the bathroom would randomly be turned on when we know we had turned it off before bedtime, and cabinet doors would suddenly be open in the kitchen. Shortly after moving in, my roomie went back east to visit family for 2 weeks and left me alone in the apartment. Nothing really crazy happened until the third or fourth night she was gone. I was sitting on the sofa with only the kitchen light on about 2 feet away from the end of the hall. To my right was a wall of windows that reflected the hall and kitchen. I kept seeing movement in the window reflection, but attributed it to the trees moving outside the window. My eyes kept darting to the window and finally saw a figure walking down the hall towards me. I have to admit that I did panic. I was positive that someone had managed to break into my house. I turned towards the hall, ready to defend myself from an intruder, but no one was there. I ran into my roomie's bedroom, grabbed her bat and searched the house. I couldn't find anyone. Thankfully, one of our friends asked to crash at her place while waiting for her new apartment to become available. She had heard that our place had stuff going on. She assured me that she would be fine. That kind of stuff didn't scare her. After only a couple of nights sleeping alone on the sofa, she asked to sleep in my room. She always had the feeling that someone was staring at her when she would try to fall asleep. Only 2 weeks later, she decided to move out and stay with different friends. We decided to have a small party a couple of months after moving in. Many of my male friends showed up and scoffed when we told them that whatever lived with us was not fond of men. My roomie's boyfriend confirmed our claim, saying that he constantly felt an aggressive glare at our house. Very early into the evening, assuming nobody was drunk yet, my friend went to use the facilities. Not even 1 minute later, he ran out of the bathroom, zipping up his pants, white as a sheet. In the bathroom, we had left a plastic soap dispenser on the counter, but had forgotten to fill it. He was using the facilities. He saw the soap dispenser lift a couple of inches and fly across to the opposite wall, crashing into it and falling on the ground. Needless to say, he never came over again. We only lived in this place for a few more months. My roomie swore that she was never bothered in her room, but always felt a presence in my room. She moved out before I did, so I was left alone for a few weeks before moving out. It was during that time that I was touched by the entity. I was trying to fall asleep, but felt like someone was in the room with me. It's that sensation when your friends try to bug you when you're napping by almost or just barely touching your face. It happened again and again until finally I felt a cold fingertip on my cheek. My eyes popped open, but I was alone. We asked our downstairs neighbors if they ever had any issues, but they'd never had a problem, nor had the landlords ever had complaints. The only information I could find out was that the house had been built around 1900 and had a well underneath that had been closed up during the conversion. anyway, they wanted me to let them know what I think. And to be honest with you, I think you live in a house that kind of sounds like a house that I lived at one point, where you would have things like that going on. Now, I never did have that aggressive, intimidating feel where things would fly across and, you know, smash into a wall. Mine was a little bit more just noises and hearing people walk up and down steps. It sounds like you live in a very interesting house, and I would look into the history of the house and see who has lived there before, what was there before the house was built, what kind of people have lived in the home. You know, you never know what kind of stuff people have done inside the house. Maybe it's just because you're more in tune with the paranormal, with the entity. Maybe there's something about you. Maybe there's something about that part of the house. Like you said, it could be just your room. Maybe there's just, you know, something that only is bringing itself out towards you and your roommate, obviously, but more so towards you because, you know, you've actually been touched by it. I don't know. I mean, it sounds interesting. You sound like you have a pretty cool house to live in. You know, as long as it doesn't really hurt anybody, I would think that you should be okay. But either way, thank you greatly to Ankh for sending that in. I really do appreciate you sharing your experiences with me. If anybody else out there has any experiences like that, please do send them in. I would love to hear about it. All right, well, I got a voicemail the other day that I wanted to play for you guys, so I'm going to go ahead and play this. This should add a little bit of humor to the show.
Hey, TJ, this is Sean from Detroit, otherwise known as Rogan from the old Mysterious Universe forums. I just came across a really funny story in the Associated Press about wallabies that are causing crop circles in Australia. Apparently, wallabies are eating poppy fields, getting stoned as kites, and running around in circles in opium fields and making crop circles. I don't know the exact link for it. I'm sure if you go into Alternative Press or Associated Press and type in wallabies, cocaine, what have you, crop circles, you'll come across it. It's very funny and very hysterical. Keep up the good work. I very much enjoy the show. Take care.
Well, thanks a lot, Sean. I really do appreciate it. I think you might be one of the first people I've got to listen to the show from Detroit. But anyway, thank you greatly for calling in. So we got stoned wallabies creating crop circles. Now, that is something else. That is great. You know, I would never have thought that wallabies would like eating poppy, but, you know, I mean, hey, to each their own when it comes to it, but maybe that right there, maybe that's it. Maybe that's our extraterrestrials are actually wallabies, and they're eating poppy seeds and getting stoned. But anyway, to go along with that, thank you greatly, Sean, for sending that in to me. I really do appreciate it. The something else that pertains to that. Now, I went and searched for that a little bit, and then I got a few emails from different people about this. And the articles, two of them, I got one of them from sfgate.com and news.yahoo.com. And since this is the first one to come up, we'll take a look at the Yahoo when it says, in Sydney, the mystery of crop circles in poppy fields in Australia's southern island state of Tasmania has been solved. Stoned wallabies are eating the poppy heads and hopping around in circles. We have a problem with wallabies entering poppy fields, getting high as a kite, and going around in circles. That's the state's top lawmaker, Laura Giddings, who told the local media. Then they crash. We see crop circles in the poppy industry from wallabies that are high. Many people believe crop circles that mysteriously appear in fields around the world are created by aliens. Poppy producer Tasmanian Alkaloid said livestock which ate the poppies were known to act weird. There have been many stories about sheep that have eaten some of the poppies after harvesting, and they all walk around in circles, said field operations manager Rick Rockcliffe. Australia produces about 50% of the world's raw material for morphine and related opiates. I just thought it was really funny that they're eating them. I mean, they're getting stoned. So I guess really human beings aren't the only ones who get stoned. I guess animals do too. All right, well, the next thing that I wanted to take a look at was an email that I got from someone who didn't leave their name. Their email, part of it, Scott's T, whoever that is, thank you for sending it in. I appreciate it. You guys, let me know who you are. I'd love to know who you are. But anyway, I appreciate you sending this in. And it says, NASA prepares to bomb the moon. NASA scientists are preparing to launch a space mission from Cape Canaveral carrying a missile that will fire a hole deep into the surface of the moon. The aim is to see whether any traces of water will be revealed by the disruption caused to the planet's surface. NASA will analyze the space cloud caused by the explosion for any sign of water or vapor. Scientists expect the impact to blast out a huge cloud of dust, gas, and vaporized water ice at least 6 miles high, making it visible from Earth. If the search is successful, it could provide vital supplies for a moon base. The Unmanned Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite Mission, or LCROSS, will fire a Centaur rocket into the surface at twice the speed of a bullet. An accompanying spacecraft will orbit the moon for a year looking for possible landing sites for astronauts. The Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter will spend at least a year creating the most minutely detailed map of the moon's surface ever seen. The vessels will be the first American spacecraft to make a lunar trip since 1999. Astronomers have long thought that a rain of comets brought water to the arid, lifeless moon over billions of years. In the past few years, at least two American spacecraft reported the presence of water by detecting hints of hydrogen and oxygen, the constituents of water, frozen deep in the darkest recesses of craters around both the north and south lunar poles. Thank you for sending that in. I really do appreciate it. It's pretty interesting to know that NASA, whoever these people that are doing all this for, you know, going to the moon and seeing if there's any water there, it's interesting that they want to put a moon base there. I mean, I know I've been hearing for many, many, many years about, you know, how they want to put a moon base there, but it actually seems like they're taking, one more step towards that. This next thing that I wanted to let you guys know about was sent to me by Jeremy. Thank you very much, man. I really do appreciate it. It's courtesy of news.aol.com. And, one of them that he sent to me was a YouTube video, but sadly, since he sent it to me, the user has taken the video down. And the next one that he sent to me was the AOL one. And for some reason, it's not really playing the video quite yet, but it's pulling it up. So anyway, it should be there for you guys to go take a look at. And basically, it's a black ring that was spotted over a theme park. And now this has been a little while, probably been a little over a month now. It says, when Dina Smith's family saw a black ring floating over the theme park they were visiting, they pointed their video camera to the sky. Kings Dominion, the Virginia theme park, said what the family caught on tape was just smoke from a roller coaster called Volcano, the Blast Coaster. The video is really, I don't even know what to think of it really. I mean, if they have something called the Volcano, the Blast Coaster, whatever that is, I mean, it would kind of sort of make sense that maybe it could be of smoke in the sky. I mean, I'm a smoker. I can tell you right now that I can do that. I mean, why couldn't a volcano? But it basically, what you'll see is the people have their camera pointed towards the sky and you don't really see anything. They zoom in on it. You can see this perfectly circular ring of smoke or maybe from a cloud or something. I mean, if you really are a UFO buff and you really want to think of it like this, you could think that it's just that shimmer from a UFO that has some kind of cloaking device, you know, if you really wanted to go that way with it. But at the same time, it could just be a smoke ring, like they said, from a roller coaster that has a little volcano on it. I'm not really sure. But anyway, I'll post a link up to it so you guys can go and take a look at it. We have got a ton of stuff to look through, as always. So I want to go ahead and, you know, push on through all this to the next article, which really isn't an article. It's courtesy of YouTube.com. And, you know, it's just a really interesting video. It's about 10 minutes long. I just wanted to share it with you guys because I thought it was an interesting thing to watch. It's a UFO cover-up documentary. It's part 4 of 9 of Out of the Blue. Now, I know a lot of you have already watched Out of the Blue. I've already watched watched it, but I just wanted to share this with you guys because I think you really should go watch it. So anyway, I'll post it up there for you guys to watch. Now, the next thing I wanted to say is that I need your experiences. Listeners, anybody out there who has had some kind of a paranormal experience, send it in to me. I really want it. I want to be able to put a show together that is nothing but listener experiences, stuff that you guys have experienced. If you want to call about it, call and leave me a voicemail with your experience. If you wanted to write it into me, it's fine. I want your experiences. So you guys send it in to me. The next thing that I wanted to take a look at was an email that I received from Andrea. And she said she had a freaky experience recently, and she thought I might be interested in hearing, which I really am because I love you guys' experience. It's the stuff you guys have seen, gone through, experienced is just amazing. I love it. It's a picture of what looks to be an entity of some kind. Basically, she says, I visited my friend in April. She lives in a really old house with several apartments in it. I stay in one of the guest rooms, and I thought it was very creepy, and I asked her after I left if they had had any good ghost stories. She said she admitted having heard footsteps and kids' voices on the second floor when no one else was in the house. We had a couple of visitors this past week who were staying in one of the rooms. One of them was photographing the house and the room. When he took the picture, something weird popped up in this one. Apparently, the only other person in the house was outside having a cigarette, so it's hard to explain the picture, how it came out the way it did. The guy who took the photograph doesn't seem to believe in ghosts at all. We sat around trying to figure out what could have caused this to look this way. In case you were wondering, he used a digital camera and was showing this around before he ever got it off his camera. As in, unlikely he played a joke using Photoshop. What's your verdict? Memory card malfunction? Or a ghostly visitor from the great beyond? Now, what you'll see in this picture, and I'm going to go ahead and post it. I've asked her if I could, and she said that she didn't think there would be a problem with it. So I'll post it up there. If she wants me to take it down, I will. Not a problem at all. I just wanted to share it with you guys because I thought it was interesting. Now, basically, what you'll see is a room, a bedroom, a closet door's open. You got some things in there. You got two beds on the ground with a little night table in the middle with a lamp. You got some things on the floor. You got a door open in the background that leads out into a hallway with some stairs. And basically in between that doorway that leads out into the hallway with the stairs and the other door that's open that has different things, you know, a fire extinguisher and what looks to be a little mini fridge and things like that. In between those two doors on the right side of the picture, about 3/4 of the way up, you see not only an orb, which I know a lot of people say are just dust or ice, water particles in the air, whatever. You see that along with a face, which you can actually see the top of the head very clearly. You can see the outline of the face. You can't see the eyes, and it fades as it goes down. Top of the head's really distinct, but the bottom of the face is faded to the point where you can't see it, and you can barely see a slight outline of the shoulders. Now, if this photo was just on the digital camera after it was taken, amazing photograph. If it's, you know, if it's Photoshopped, I'd like to, you know, I mean, if it's Photoshopped, then whatever, you know, somebody had some fun with it, that's good. But, you know, anyway, I'm not saying that it is Photoshopped. Please don't misunderstand that, but I'm not saying that it's not Photoshopped either. I don't really know what to take of it. That's why I'm sharing it with you guys. I want you to be able to take a look at it, and if any of you can analyze it at all, let me know. I'd love to know what you think of this photograph, whether or not you think it's Photoshopped or not. Just let me know what you think. I love your feedback. But anyway, you'll see exactly that, this ghostly face off to the right side of the image right next to an orb. So anyway, I know orbs chap a lot of people's butts, but a lot of people believe in them. So if there's enough, I believe in a way that if there's enough belief in something, there's enough want for something, then you can maybe make it happen. Then actually give it some meaning. But anyway, thank you, Andrea, for sending that in. I really, truly do appreciate it. Let's go ahead and take a break. I want to play you guys some promos, and we'll be right back.
The world is a strange place, and Conspiracy Journal is your number one source of all the bizarre news and information that you won't find on your local 6 o'clock news. Conspiracy Journal is a free weekly newsletter of conspiracies, the paranormal, UFOs, and everything else weird and strange. So don't be left in the dark. visit us at www.conspiracyjournal.com and find out what they don't want you to know. Airy Radio, opening the door to the unknown. Download episodes of Airy Radio directly from iTunes or visit their website at www.airyradio.com.
My name is X246ZY7 from the planet Dotopia. And when I'm in your rather primitive solar system, I go to paranormalpodcast.com and set my podcast aggregator to Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold. Finally, a show about me.
Well, sort of. At Paranormal Podcast, we interview authors and experts from around the world about everything from UFOs and ghosts to the existence of life after death. Are crop circles real? Is there scientific explanations for the Bermuda Triangle phenomena? Learn this and so much more on the Paranormal Podcast. Now, we take our subject matter seriously, but we have fun too. Even skeptics are welcome. So please subscribe. It's free. You can find us at Podcast Alley, the iTunes Music Store, or at ParanormalPodcast.com. Take a listen. Open your mind.
All right, well, the next thing that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of WND.com. Is the Ark of the Covenant about to be revealed? Ethiopian Patriarch tells Pope he will show artifact to the world. The Patriarch of the Orthodox Church of Ethiopia says he will announce to the world that the unveiling of the Ark of the Covenant, perhaps the world's most prized archaeological and spiritual artifact, which he says has been hidden away in a church in his country for millennia, according to the Italian news agency, it's going to be revealed. Abuna Paulos in Italy, for a meeting with Pope Benedict, told the news agency soon the world will be able to admire the Ark of the Covenant, described in the Bible as the container of the tablets of the law of God delivered to Moses in the center of searches and studies for centuries. The announcement is expected to be made from the Hotel Aldrovandi in Rome. The Ark of the Covenant is in Ethiopia for many centuries, said Paulos. As a patriarch, I have seen it with my own eyes, and only few highly qualified persons could do the same until now. He said the museum is being built in Axum in Ethiopia, where the Ark will be displayed. The Bible says the Ark was built to the specifications of God as he spoke to Moses. It was carried around in advance of the people and their armies by priests. The idea that the Ark is presently in Ethiopia is a well-documented, albeit disputed, tradition dating back to at least 642 BC. The tradition says it was moved to Elephantine Island in Egypt, then to Tanakirkos Island in Ethiopia, and finally to its present site at St. Mary's of Zion Church in Axum. Ethiopians believed it is destined to be delivered to the Messiah when he reigns on Mount Zion, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Anyway, I just thought it was really neat that they're going to actually unveil the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I've heard that this is where it's at. I've heard this before. I couldn't tell you if it's true or not. This article was posted in June, and I don't know if it ever actually happened. I believe that that would have been something you would have heard about on the main news from pretty much just about anywhere, that the Ark of the Covenant was actually released to the world and unveiled and is there to go look at. I think you probably would have heard about it. Now, this next thing that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of YouTube.com, and it was sent to me from Colin. This trailer that he sent is for a movie called District 9, and I hadn't heard of it, and I found it to be really interesting. Now, the release date for this movie is supposedly August 14th of 2009. Aliens have landed and are being forced into, like, more or less like concentration type camps. It says that the plot is an extraterrestrial race forced to live in slum-like conditions on Earth suddenly find a kindred spirit in a government agent that is exposed to their biotechnology. It looks really, really, really good, y'all. So I'm going to have to say that Colin has, we might have to make him my movie guy. Let him send me in the movies that he thinks are going to be good, because this one looks like it's going to be really good. I'll post a link up to the preview or to the trailer so you can go and take a look at it for yourself. It looks really good. Now, this next article is courtesy of Gator Bobo, and I really do appreciate you sending this in, man. It says, UFO seen over Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch. It says, I had just flown in from Cleveland to LA for business and was driving through Grand Avenue in Los Olivos, California, around 5 a.m. in the morning on the way to an early sales meeting. I see a glowing bright green light slightly to the north, and I know it sounds kind of timely and weird, but this hovering light appeared to be situated right over where Michael Jackson Neverland Ranch would stand. It was way larger than a star and appeared sphere-shaped. The UFO hovered for a few minutes and then shot up and off. Thought you might be interested. It really happened. This is no joke. Now, the article goes on to say, we know some readers might laugh at this story, but if we are in fact being semi-secretly monitored by an alien civilization, as appears to be the case, is it so far-fetched to suggest that they might take an interest in things that we take an interest in? As absurd as it sounds, the reality is that aliens vaguely monitoring our planet yesterday could not have missed the fact that Michael Jackson passed away. Neverland Ranch was created from scratch by Michael Jackson as his own piece of paradise. Planning and landscaping throughout the property was meticulous in its detail. Jackson lost ownership of the ranch during his financial meltdown. And they want to know if anybody else saw the UFO. If so, they want you to email them. It makes kind of a weird thing, you know. I mean, maybe because we made such a big deal about it, then maybe they took an interest in it just to see why we made a big deal about it. But it also goes to the conspiracy buffs and the people who think that Michael Jackson was an alien. Hey, that's just another little check in your box. The next video that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of YouTube.com too, and I believe this one was sent in to me from Colin as well, and basically this one is The Fallen Angel, Real Angel Caught on Video. The info thing over there says, for those of you who confuse it to be an angel, the fallen angel refers to the devil. It is said that the devil was once an angel who was kicked out of heaven for trying to take over God's throne, so please don't confuse it with an angel. Fallen angel is a term that can be used to refer to anything devilish or the devil himself. I do have to say that whatever it is, they did a pretty good job in creating this fake-looking creature, whatever it might have been. Either way, this creature, it's like somebody's walking through the woods, and then this creature is like hunched over almost as if it's eating something. And it's at night, obviously, and they zoom in on it, and then this creature looks back at it, the eyes light up from the light, and the people just take off running. Now, I don't know, I mean, it could be a fallen angel. It looks like it's real, but at the same time, it could have just been some skinny guy that they made to, you know, put makeup on and made him look this way. But it does look as if this creature, it is a real creature. You can tell it's not a puppet or anything along those lines. It's bald. It looks like it has some kind of, you know, not pointy ears, but kind of flat up against its head. It looks pale. The light on it is like that, you know, that IR light, that infrared light that, you know, you really can't see a whole lot, or it's a flashlight. The video quality is not all that great, but anyway, I want you guys to go take a look at the Fallen Angel video. I'll post a link up to it, and if you want, give me a call, shoot me an email, let me know what you think about it. Now, this next article is courtesy of Scorpion King. He's got his own website now. It's UFOClearinghouse.webs.com. I post a link up to it on the left sidebar, the 13skulls.com, and he posts a whole bunch of UFO sightings. His little thing is the UFO Clearinghouse. A closed mind is a ship set adrift at sea. Now, this is a really good website. I like the way he's done it. It looks really nice. It's good and clean. It's crisp. It looks like it's like you put some time into it. But he posts a whole lot of really good sightings on here. And this one is the Interstate sighting. Interstate 35 runs from the southern part of Texas all the way to Canada. And I know this because Interstate 35 is right down the street from me. If you've ever been on it during heavy traffic times, it can be quite nerve-wracking. The part of I-35 that runs from Waco to Temple is no exception, and even at night has a steady stream of traffic. Our case takes place just north of Temple on March 22nd of 2009. Nearing Temple, a city of about 60,000, a man was driving with his wife suddenly saw a strange light in the sky moving at high speeds. As she watched the object, suddenly it stopped in midair, over a farmer's field about about a mile off the interstate. Now aware of the unusual sight, the husband pulled the car onto the shoulder of the highway to get a better look at the object. As they watched, the UFO slowly came down, appearing to land in the field. Landed, the UFO looked to be disc-shaped. The visibility this night was not the best. The darkness was made worse by a cloud cover, but the witness had his binoculars with him and quickly put them to service to get a better look around at the UFO. Now, he was sure that the object was a saucer, but it was sitting on the ground. The man and his wife initially looked for a reasonable explanation for what they were seeing. Could it be some type of farm equipment or feeding device for the cattle that grazed on the land? But what about flying around at great speeds before landing? It was not a small plane nor a helicopter. As the man and his wife intently watched the UFO, soon a door opened, exposing an orange-red interior. Three beings walked out of the disc-shaped object, the door shutting behind them. The eyewitness watched the activity at the UFO for about 3 minutes. They did not see the beings re-enter the object, unless there was another door that was not visible to the witnesses. Then the UFO slowly rose from the ground, hovered briefly, and then headed northward at a high rate of speed. They never saw the object again. The man refocused on the landing site, but there was nothing now but an abandoned field. The only thoughts he had was that possibly the three visitors were walking around in the direction of the rest stop near the landing location. This, he thought, because he was never able to see the three as they walked out of range of his sight. He wanted to make a U-turn, go back northbound, and visit the rest stop, but he was urged not to do so by his wife. She feared that they had just seen aliens from an extraterrestrial craft. For those of you who don't know, the rest stops on that side of Texas highways are nothing more than a few concrete tables and can be scary at night. Says that I'm in the process of trying to dig more into this case, and if I can obtain more details, I will update this case. So, it's really interesting that they saw this, because that's really not too far away from where I live here. Now, Waco is probably about halfway between here and Austin. And Austin is about 3.5, you know, bad traffic, you can probably make it there in 4. Good traffic, you can maybe make it there in a little over 3. So it's not that far away. Waco's maybe 1.5 hours away, I guess. But anyway, my grandparents used to live in Waco a long time ago. But anyway, thanks, Scorp. I really do appreciate it. You guys need to go check out his website at ufoclearinghouse.webs.com. Go check it out. He's got a lot of really good cases just like this on there. He's got a lot of content. Really good website, nice and clean. I like the way it looks. Plus, Scorp's just a really nice guy. So, you know, you got to support the man. Like I said, there's a link on the left sidebar of my website, the13skulls.com. Now, this next article is courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com. Yeah, I shouldn't even be telling you that, because you're going to know that's where I'm going to get a lot of my articles from anyway. says an interesting story appeared last week concerning the alleged discovery of an abnormal alloy at the Los Robles Nature Preserve. The story states that a minuscule portion of an alloy whose creation was impossible to human technology near the Rogero Reservoir in Moreno, which has become the epicenter of UFO activity in the province of Buenos Aires. The newspaper quoted Codigo OVNI's Jorge Morón as saying, "When we speak of UFOs, reference is being made to a set of experiences that some refute or project into the future. In this case, things are different. We have official certification of material that is not of this planet." Describing the particle as an alloy of iron of aluminum in percentage that reaches unconceivable levels by terrestrial standards. Morón went on to say that this find and its subsequent confirmation by the INTI represent, without question, a very valuable contribution within the framework of UFO activities. Anyway, I thought it was really neat that they found this alloy, this metal that is not of this earth. Now, granted, somewhere out in the universe, there could have been a combination of metals that isn't here on Earth that was shot out into space through an explosion of some kind, or however it would get its momentum to go hurtling through space and eventually make its way toward, you know, here to Earth. But anyway, I just thought it was really interesting that it is happening in Argentina. And as we know, there are a lot of cattle mutilations and a lot of UFO activity in Argentina. So it would make sense that maybe, you know, a piece of a spacecraft fell off, or maybe one crashed or something, and that's how they got this piece of material. But, you know, in all honesty, it really wouldn't be all that surprising if it was extraterrestrial material. Extraterrestrial not being little green men from Mars, but extraterrestrial meaning that it's not of this planet. So anyway, I want to go on to another article courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com, and it's an unidentified fireball hits central Queensland mountain. And it says that in Melbourne on June 19th of 2009, in the latest riddle of UFOs to grip Australia, a flaming object has been spotted crashing into a mountain in central Queensland. The spectacle was initially treated as a possible plane crash, but it's now believed to be a meteor or space junk falling to Earth. Police said the Australian Search and Rescue Authority received no mayday or distress calls from aircraft. The AGL Action Rescue Helicopter has been tasked to search the mountainous area at Tackleberran Creek, or Tackleberran Creek, northwest of Gingin. Property owner Hazel Marlin told ABC Radio the mountain was covered in smoke. A spokesman for the AGL Action Rescue Helicopter said a crew had not been able to identify what caused the fire. Police are also conducting a ground search of the thickly wooded area. A spokesman for UFO research in Queensland said that they have received no reports about the incident. Now, the next article I want to take a look at is showbizandstyle.inquirer.net. I know it seems a little weird to find something there, but the article caught my eye. It says, "Does being seen in two places herald death?" Here's a question about bilocation from a male reader whose name he requested to be withheld. "On two separate occasions, my office mates had seen me in the office during times that I was absent. I did some research and found it may be described as bilocation. Based on my readings, this is characteristic of the phenomenon. The scary thing is that it could herald death. Can you please enlighten me on this? Bilocation means being seen in two places at the same time. It is not as rare a phenomenon as many people think, and it does not necessarily herald death. Bilocation happens when one's astral body detaches itself from one's physical body and travels without the person being aware of it. The astral body is sometimes called the desire body because it goes off to where the person wants to go, either consciously or unconsciously. Many saints of the Catholic Church have been known to bilocate. There was, for example, the story of a saint who was at the time in jail. At the same time, many miles away, he was seen officiating Mass in a church with two other priests." Now, it's just really interesting. I've never really heard that bilocation or having a doppelganger or anything along those lines would actually bring about death. Now, it's a little weird. I mean, maybe if your astral self, your astral body was out of your physical body for long enough, does that possibly? Could that possibly be it, that your astral body and your physical body can only be separated for a certain amount of time before they're not able to relocate themselves at the same place? I don't know. If anybody knows anything more about bilocation, or if you have an idea about it or comment or something, go ahead and send it to me. I'd love to hear what your opinion is. I just thought it was interesting that this person had heard that it could bring about death being in two places at once. Now, like I said, does that mean that you could die if your astral body and your physical body were apart for too long? Now, I did take a look at the only thing, the godsend of information for the internet, the Wikipedia site. Not really. I'm just kidding about that. That's not the tell-all for anything, because anybody can write something in Wikipedia and people will believe it to be true. But it says bilocation, or sometimes multilocation, is a term used to describe the ability or instances in which an individual or object is said to be or appears to be located in two distinct places at the same instant in time. The term appears to be used in a wide range of historical and philosophical systems, including early Greek philosophy, shamanism, paganism, folklore, occultism, and magic. In Christianity, bilocation explains the dual location of Christ at the Last Supper in both the transubstantiated host and in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. The idea was important in Catholicism, which acknowledged that Christ was fully present in the Eucharist. Several Christian saints and monks are said to have exhibited bilocation. Among the earliest is the apparition of Our Lady of Pillar in the year 40. In another instance, in 1774, Saint Alphonsus Liguori is said to have gone into a trance while preparing for Mass. When he came out of the trance, he reported that he had visited the bedside of the dying Pope Clement. His presence is then said to have been confirmed by those attending the Pope, despite his being 4 days' travel away and not appearing to have left his original location. Other examples of bilocation is, in the 17th century, persons accused of witchcraft were reported to appear in dreams and visions of witnesses. The trials at Bury St. Edmunds and Salem included this spectral evidence against defendants. Matthew Hopkins described the phenomena in his book, The Discovery of Witches. Anyway, I just thought it was really neat. I wanted to provide you guys a little bit more information with bilocation. There's a whole lot of references down here and a lot of other sites that you can go check out if you want to look up more information on bilocation. I'll post a link up to it so you guys have a way to get to it all. The next article is, again, courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com. And whenever I saw the title for this one, I just had to put it into the show. It says, Giant Stadium is coming down, but the FBI is not looking for Hoffa's remains. In the November 1989 issue of Playboy, Donald, Tony the Greek, Frankos, said Jimmy Hoffa's body was buried at Giant Stadium, cut into pieces, put into a steel drum, and entombed in concrete in section 107 near the end zone. It gives new meaning to the term, Coffin Corner, jokes Sports Illustrated. 20 years later, a new billion-dollar stadium is rising in the Meadowlands, and the old Giant Stadium will host one last round of pro football and Bruce Springsteen concerts. Next year, the walls come tumbling down. So, will the authorities check for the remains of Hoffa, the legendary Teamsters boss who was last seen alive in Detroit in 1975? Apparently not. The FBI officially punted that idea back in 1989 because they know he's there. They know he's there. Anyway, who knows? He might not be there. I have no idea. Anyway, I just thought it was really interesting that they're going to tear down Giant Stadium. It would be interesting, though. They need to tear it down and look to see if Hoffa's body is there. Just for all those conspiracy buffs who think he is there, for him not to be there would be kind of funny, really. But at the same time, how great would it feel for all those conspiracy buffs to actually hear that they found his body under Section 107? Now, this next article that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of abcnews.go.com, and it's doctors who are baffled and intrigued by a girl who doesn't age. Years pass, but Brooke Greenberg remains a toddler. No one can explain how or why. Brooke Greenberg is the size of an infant with the mental capacity of a toddler, and she turned 16 in January. Why doesn't she age? Howard Greenberg, 52, asked of his daughter, is she the fountain of youth? Such questions are why scientists are fascinated by Brooke. Among the many documented instances of children who fail to grow or develop in some way, Brooke's case may be unique. According to her doctor, Johns Hopkins School of Medicine pediatrician Lawrence Pakula in Baltimore, many of the best-known names in medicine in their experience had not seen anyone who matched up to Brooke. Brooke hasn't aged in the conventional sense. Dr. Richard Walker of the University of South Florida College of Medicine in Tampa says Brooke's body is not developing as a coordinated unit, but as independent parts that are out of sync. She has never been diagnosed with any known genetic syndrome or chromosomal abnormality that would help to explain why. In a recent paper of the journal Mechanisms of Aging and Development, Walker and his co-authors, who include Pakula and All Children's Hospitals in St. Petersburg, Florida, geneticist Maxine Sutcliffe chronicled a baffling range of inconsistencies in Brooke's aging process. She still has baby teeth at 16. And her bone age is estimated to be more like 10 years old. There have been very minimal changes in Brooke's brain, Walker said. Various parts of her body, rather than all being at the same stage, seem to be disconnected. Brooke's mother, Melanie Greenberg, 48, sees a different picture. She loves to shop, Greenberg said, just like a woman. Brooke rides in a stroller while her mom shops her clothes in the infant sections of department stores near their home in Baltimore suburbs. Anyway, I just thought it was really neat that she doesn't age. There's a video there for you guys to go and take a look at so you actually can see the little girl. I just thought it was really weird that somebody could be 16 years old and have the body of an infant and, you know, still be alive and have baby teeth and not age. I mean, I wonder if it's just something that's just making her body not grow up, not develop, or is it one of those things where this girl could live to be 140 years old? People have been known to live really, really old, and I just heard an interview with somebody the other day saying that they've known people that are thousands of years old. I mean, that's what they said in the Bible, that Moses lived to be like 700 or 900 years old. So maybe this little girl's got something along those lines. Maybe it was some kind of a recessed gene that just now came out for the first time in thousands of years. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. The next article is from examiner.com. And it's a UFO traffic report saying a 400-foot-long object that hovered over a Wisconsin driveway. The UFO traffic report from Monday said on June 22, 2009, there were 14 selected sightings over 14 states, according to witness statements filed in the past 72 hours with MUFON. A slow-moving object covering the entire length of a 400-foot-long driveway in Wisconsin, a bright green fireball over Texas, and a bright green fireball over Ohio. Now, those are the stories that you can actually go and take a look at. But it said that the person had just gone to bed and they woke up to see what sounded like helicopters hovering over their home. The dogs heard the noise as well and were standing at the window, and they noticed that the motion detector in the driveway had been activated but didn't see anything in the driveway. As they looked up, there appeared to be a very bright light in perfect alignment in a straight line. The fourth light, which was red and flashing, and it was a bit off to the left, and their driveway is approximately 400 feet long, and the lights extended almost the entire length of it. Now, there's a whole bunch of information there on another bright green fireball, a couple of bright green fireballs, three round white orbs in the sky, and two silver gray orbs. There's all kinds of stuff here for you guys to go take a look at. There's probably like 15 different sightings here for you guys to go and look at. So I'll post a link up to them so you guys can go and look at them at them all. There's a whole bunch of good stuff here. And, you guys go take a look at them and enjoy the reading. Now, the next article that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com, and it's a carcass from Okanagan Lake, and they were wondering, is it Ogopogo? Basically, a tissue sample of the creature will be sent to a researcher in Ontario for DNA testing, and the carcass itself will be examined by a scientist in Alberta. The remains were found 2 weeks ago by Kelowna resident Dan Popoff as he paddled his kayak near the far end of Lakeshore Road. For now, he's still got the carcass, which measures more than a meter long in his freezer at home. Popoff is reluctant to suggest the strange-looking carcass might be an example of an Ogopogo, the legendary inhabitants of Okanagan Lake, but he is interested in finding out just what it is. He contacted Arlene Gall, a Kelowna woman who has written extensively on Ogopogo sightings over the years, and Gall is making arrangements to send the tissue sample and the carcass to two researchers who she declines to identify. Got a little picture there, which I think is just like a rendition of what people think Ogopogo looks like. But I mean, if he's got it in his freezer at home, I mean, 1 meter, that's a good length for an animal, but I don't know if it would be big enough for an Ogopogo. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, and once we get the results in, if I hear anything, I'll let you guys know. All right, the next article that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com too, and it's another, it's something that I'm sure you guys might have heard about by now, and it was an article, a couple of articles were sent to me about a video that was taken in a sewer underground in North Carolina, and it was this weird-looking alien-type blob creature that would, like, tense up and had all these tentacle kind of arms coming off of it, and basically people were saying that it was an alien, and actually it's a bryozoan colony. A slimy pulsating blob living beneath the streets of the North Carolina is not an extraterrestrial sewer monster as first feared. It is, instead, a colony of prehistoric creatures called bryozoans, thousands of worms that eat using a set of brown tentacles. The harmless worms, moving around 10 centimeters a day, normally live near ponds, although environmental inspector Ed Buchan said that the phenomenon was rare to see. The blob was captured on film by a maintenance company doing a routine inspection on the sanitary sewer, which is located beneath one of America's oldest shopping centers. A 2-minute video showing the worms throbbing and contracting when shown with light made it to YouTube, sparking conspiracy theories that aliens and extraterrestrial life were there. News outlets also went monster crazy with the headlines, "Sewer Monster is this summer's Susan Boyle." Right. A spokesman from Malfris Construction, the firm that shot the video, said the blob was the size of a golf ball and appeared much larger on video. Authorities will not remove the blob, but it is not clogging the pipes. So anyway, I just wanted to let you guys know, if anybody had heard about the sewer monster in North Carolina and you hadn't actually heard what it really was, well, there you go. It's just a strange bunch of worms that look like a decayed brain. Anyway, we'll move on to the next article, which again is courtesy of the same place as the last ones were, naturalplane.blogspot.com. It's a new apartment building that just plain fell over in Shanghai. And there's a video of the building there. There's several pictures you can see, and it looks like it literally just uprooted itself like a tree would and just fell over. It says a construction worker was killed whenever the building fell on Saturday after a 13-story block of flats collapsed in China, highlighting fears that building safety standards are being overlooked in the country's rush to modernize. The block in the outskirts of the eastern city of Shanghai toppled around dawn and ended up lying on its side in a muddy construction field. They're lucky it didn't fall over in any other way and kill a bunch of people. Construction work on the block appeared to have been nearly completed, with all windows fitted and tile facade. Other identical blocks in the same property were still standing nearby. The official's Xinhua news agency said that a 20-year-old worker, surnamed Zhao, had gone into the building to get his tools and tried to jump out of the window when the building started to fall. The accident occurred in the Lotus Riverside residential community in Shanghai's Minxing district. Substandard workmanship has been a major concern in China's building sector as the country rolls out enormous city expansions and finishes off vast infrastructure projects to keep pace with fast economic growth. I just thought it was really weird that the building just simply fell over. I mean, how does a building just fall over? See, if it had fell the other way, then it would have run into a building just like a set of dominoes. You know, just would have been one building right into the other, into the other, into the other. But luckily, it fell in a direction that there was nothing there, but like they said, just a muddy park. But anyway, I just thought it was really weird that a building just simply fell over. You don't see every day that a building just falls over. I don't know. I don't get it. But anyway, let's move on to the next. I'll post a link up to it so you guys can go and take a look at the pictures yourself and see this 13-story building that just simply fell over. But anyway, the next video that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of YouTube.com, and it was sent to me from Edmundo. And to be honest with you, this might be one of the best intelligent moving sphere videos I've ever seen. Now, this is a video that's about 7 minutes, 16 seconds long, And it's a video basically of Jaime Musan interviewing a guy that took the video. And you'll see this weird little object up in the sky. It's in Spanish, but there are subtitles there for you guys that don't speak Spanish to know what they're talking about. But it's this weird little object up in the sky. And it looks like it's shooting these little orbs out of two ends, out of one end, it's shooting them out of one end, and on the other end, it's shooting them out too. But these little objects are kind of moving around, circling around each other, which I've actually seen something along those lines of these two little objects way up in the sky that were circling around each other and moving across the sky. Basically, this video, it looks like it's not Photoshopped. It looks like it's not Photoshopped. So anyway, I just wanted to get you guys to go take a look at this. You'll see the little object up there, and it looks like it's kind of shooting these objects out, and I mean a lot of them at one time, like 15 or 20 at once. And then they go moving off, and then this object it kind of moves around a little bit. And it's kind of hard to tell exactly what it is, but regardless of whatever it is, I mean, the guy can't really seem to focus too much on it, but I mean, at one point in time, it looks like this object is shooting out like 100 of these things at one point in time. And this guy actually, he's sitting there telling him exactly what he saw. Jaime Musan always has these interesting people with these crazy orb videos on, to talk to him about all this. And I just wonder how this guy noticed this thing. Now, it doesn't look like he could have Photoshopped this at all, but I mean, it's just bizarre. This UFO is letting out dozens and dozens of these little orbs. Anyway, I want you guys to go take a look at it. There's not much more that I can describe there. You just simply have to see the footage for yourself. I will post a link up to it at the13skulls.com. You guys go take a look at it and see for yourself what I'm talking about with this UFO, this literal unidentified flying object in the sky shooting out dozens of spheres. All right, everybody, right now we're going to play a little bit of news for you to let you know what's been going on in the world of the paranormal.
Welcome to the 13 Skulls Paranormal News.
Ananova.com is reporting that tourism chiefs in China are trying to attract visitors by claiming that a mountain is laying eggs. Officials at Gulu Village in Guizhou Province claim a cliff of Ganding Mountain has laid more than 100 eggs. They claim the eggs, as big as car tires, appear in sockets in the cliff around every 2 years. Yang Xingjia, director of the local tourism bureau, said another mountain egg is expected to be laid soon. If people like visitors can have long enough patience, they may view the astonishing scene of the mountain laying an egg. Locals say each socket produces an egg every 30 years, and that eggs have recently appeared in March of 99, May of 2003, June of 2005, March of 2007, and January of 2009. CBSNews.com is reporting that a mother is one of three people accused of cutting her 7-year-old daughter and making her watch animal sacrifices as part of a religious ritual in northern New Jersey. WCBS New York reports that the girl's nude body was doused with cold water as she was forced to watch a goat and chickens being sacrificed. When police searched the Patterson, New Jersey home, they reportedly uncovered a shrine, religious statues, bones, machetes, dolls, and sticks with numbers and names on them. Police say the religious ritual practiced on the child was Palo Mayombe. The three suspects are charged with endangering the welfare of a child. Authorities say the ritual was performed on the child in May. The ritual is considered one of the most powerful and feared forms of black magic. News.bbc.co.uk is reporting that U.S. researchers have made smart fabric that can detect the wavelength and direction of light that's falling onto it. The research team has found a way to accurately place sensors in each fiber and coordinate the electrical signals they send when light falls on them. The results were a step towards ambient light imaging fabrics, said the researchers. Led by Dr. Joel Fink from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, the researchers have extended earlier work that placed sensors in relatively large polymer fibers. Dr. Fink and colleagues found a way to stretch the 25mm strands of polymer into much thinner fibers while maintaining the relative positions of the sensors. This earlier work has led to the creation of very long and flexible light and temperature sensors that may find a role in smart fabrics for soldiers or those working in hostile environments. In their latest work, described in a paper in Nano Letters, these thinner strands were woven into a 0.1 meter square section of fabric. The careful creation of the fibers and positioning of the light-sensitive elements meant that the team knew which signals were being sent by which sensors. This enabled the team to reconstruct, albeit crudely, an image projected onto a small square of fabric. The researchers said their work was an important step towards finding ways to get many nanoscale devices working together. Cryptomundo.com is reporting that John Alva Keel, 79, Fortean, fierce fighter for his theories, professional writer, and a journalist, has died. Keel, who lived most of his life in New York City, passed away on Friday, July 3rd of 2009, at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City, after some months in a nursing home near his Upper West Side apartment. Keel's impact is far-reaching. Keel's book, Strange Creatures from Time and Space, was the inspiration for Craig Woolheater's interest in Bigfoot and eventually would stimulate the creation of Cryptomundo. John Keel was popular and one of the most widely read and influential Fortean authors of the late 20th century. Although his own thoughts about aerial, monster, and associated anomalous phenomena gradually evolved during the 1960s, Keel remained one of ufology's most original and controversial researchers. After years of writing parts of the story in various articles and other books, in 1975, Keel published The Mothman Prophecies, an account of his 1966 to 1967 investigation of sightings of the Mothman reported in and around Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Keel suffered a heart attack sometime before October 13, 2006. And on July 6, 2009, as word swept through the internet from Phyllis Benjamin at Info and others that John Keel had passed away on Friday, tributes and sorrow were shared online in overwhelming fashions from his followers, fans, and friends. John A. Keel will be missed. Wired.com is reporting that astrophysicists identified what appears to be the first ever medium-sized black hole with a mass at least 500 times that of our Sun. Researchers from France detected the middling hole in a galaxy about 290 million light-years from Earth. The discovery may shed some light on the origins of supersized black holes like the one at the center of our own galaxy, the Milky Way. These astral heavyweights top out at several million to several billion times the mass of the Sun, but their origin remains a mystery. The existence of such intermediate mass black holes is in dispute, the French scientist wrote on Wednesday in the journal Nature. And though many candidates have been proposed, none are widely accepted as definitive. The new discovery is the most convincing existing evidence to date that medium-sized black holes do exist. Using the European Space Agency's XMM-Newton X-ray Space Telescope, the researchers identified a radiation source that gives off X-rays 260 million times brighter than the radiation from our own sun. Called Hyperluminous X-ray Source 1, the structure sits on the edge of galaxy ESO-243-49. Because of the source's physical characteristics and the patterns of its radiation, the researchers conclude it must be a black hole more than 500 times the mass of our own sun. Not too big, not too small, and the first of its kind. NZHerald.co.nz is reporting that conspiracy theorists who believe Michael Jackson was an alien and that the moon landing was a staged hoax set in a secret Hollywood studio may soon have to invent entire new theories. NASA has confirmed that its Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter will be taking photos of the Apollo landing sites as they scout out new landing sites and seek to prove that we really did take one giant step for mankind on the moon. NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter is a robotic spacecraft designed to map out the moon's surface to help prepare for future lunar missions. The Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter will orbit 50 kilometers above the moon's surface to carry out its mission of mapping the moon's surface in high-resolution 1 meter per pixel images of the moon's surface from pole to pole. The orbiter will also carry instruments that will enable it to be able to take detailed 3D maps of the moon's surface. NASA has yet to give specific timelines for the flyby and photo shoot, but sometime soon, there will hopefully be concrete proof consisting of high-definition photos of the Apollo Lunar Module's descent stage, the bottom part of the lunar module that housed its propulsion system, which was left on the moon's surface when the Apollo astronauts rejoined the Lunar Command Module orbiting the moon. Other remains left on the moon include a golf club, U.S. flags, as well as the lunar rovers used in Apollo 15, Apollo 16, and Apollo 17 missions. News.bbc.co.uk is reporting that the world's oldest dinosaur burrows have been discovered in Australia. Three separate burrows have been found in all, the biggest 2 meters long, each built to a similar design and just big enough to hold the body of a small dinosaur. The 106 million year old burrows, the first to be found outside of North America, would have been much closer to the South Pole when they were created. That supports the idea that dinosaurs living in cold, harsh climates burrowed underground to survive. The only other known dinosaur burrow was discovered in 2005 in Montana. Like many discoveries in paleontology, it happened by a combination of serendipity and previous knowledge, says Anthony Martin of Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. 20 years ago, researchers in Australia, including Patricia Vickers Rich of Monash University in Clayton and Thomas Rich of the Museum of Victoria, first proposed that some dinosaurs may have climbed into burrows to survive harsh climates they couldn't escape from by migrating. It gives us yet another example of how dinosaurs evolved certain adaptive behaviors in accordance with their ecosystem, Martin says. Martin hopes now that paleontologists will be on the lookout for a range of different types of dinosaur burrow, and for dinosaurs that are physically adapted into burrowing into soil. Examiner.com is reporting that the octomom, Nadia Solomon, apparently has another little visitor living with her. Solomon told Radar Online that her house is haunted by the ghost of a young child. She was apparently being serious when she said that she was just about to sit on the toilet when she heard a child, one other than the multiple suspects already living in her home, say, Mommy. She also related that one of the nannies who has helped her reported seeing a small child disappear in an upstairs room that's always unusually cold. This is something you're not supposed to believe in if you're a believer in God, but it's something that I'm a little worried about, she said. If praying doesn't make the ghost go away, she said she plans to buy 20 Bibles and put them around the home. News.yahoo.com is reporting that a new map of Venus's southern hemisphere suggests that it may have once been more Earth-like, with volcanic activity and an ocean of water. The map comprises over 1,000 individual images recorded between May 2006 and December of 2007 by the European Space Agency's Venus Express spacecraft. It gives astronomers another tool in their quest to understand why Venus is so similar in size to Earth and yet has evolved so differently. Because Venus is covered in clouds, normal cameras cannot see the surface, but Venus Express used a particular infrared wavelength to see through them. The new data is consistent with suspicions that the highland plateaus of Venus are ancient continents, once surrounded by oceans that might have evaporated away into space and produced by volcanic activity. Water is the key to life as we know it, and though there are no signs of past or present biology on the suffocating surface of Venus, some astronomers have speculated that it's the clouds that could harbor life. Naturalplane.blogspot.com is reporting that top scholars have gathered in Rome recently to discuss the exciting and controversial idea that Sardinia is the lost island of Atlantis. The theory, developed in a book by the Italian journalist Sergio Frau, has drawn international acclaim but also fueled heated criticism. Despite selling 30,000 copies in Italy, a detailed 20-point appeal by 250 academics has dismissed the book, claiming it sensationalizes Sardinian history. But the theory received a major boost last year when the United Nations Cultural Heritage Body, UNESCO, organized a symposium on the issue in Paris, suggesting the idea was worth serious consideration. Academics, archaeologists, geologists, and historians from across Italy have met in Rome to look at the theory in closer depth and discuss possible paths of future research. Naturalplane.blogspot.com is reporting that Errol Flynn is remembered by millions for swashbuckling his way through the adventures of Robin Hood dressed in Lincoln green. But a declassified CIA file suggests that he would have been more at home in a black SS uniform with a swastika on his arm. The Hollywood legend is said to have been an active Nazi spy. It's even claimed that he attended a secret meeting with Adolf Hitler himself at his Berchtesgaden mountain lair in 1938, the same year the Robin Hood film came out. Flynn biographer Charles Higgum claims his research shows the dashing actor's espionage for the Germans led to hundreds dying in concentration camps. Historian James Holland said, "The idea of Errol Flynn being a Nazi is totally ridiculous. He had a dubious past, but I don't think he was a spy." The disturbing claims have angered many in the actor's birthplace of Tasmania in Australia, including his daughter Rory and his grandson Sean, who are currently celebrating the centenary of his birth. AZCentral.com is reporting that a New Hampshire man says he swiped his debit card at a gas station to buy a pack of cigarettes and was charged over $23 quadrillion. Josh Mazinski checked his account online a few hours later and saw the 17-digit number, a stunning 23,148,855,308,184,500. Mazinski says he spent 2 hours on the phone with Bank of America trying to sort out the string of numbers and the $15 overdraft fee. The bank corrected the error the next day. Bank of America told WMUR-TV only the cardholder Visa could answer questions. Visa, in turn, referred questions to the bank. SantiagoTimes.cl is reporting that a team of experts recently discovered a 6-kilometer-long lava cave system on Easter Island, thought to have been used as a refuge by the island's inhabitants during the 16th century. The team confirmed it is the largest cave on the island and the 11th largest in the world in terms of area. Prior to their exploration, the caves have aroused the interest of tour operators who told stories of islanders who continued to inhabit the caves to emulate the lives of their ancestors. Easter Island, also known as Rapa Nui, is a Polynesian island located some 3,500 kilometers off the west coast of Chile. "It has been a revelation," said Enrique Tucci, administrator of the Rapa Nui National Park. "We knew these caves existed. They've been there for centuries, but we had not taken into account their variety, quantity, and peculiarity." The discovery will be featured in the TV show Science Hunters, for which state-owned TV network TVN is negotiating the rights. The cultural center at Chile's presidential palace, La Moneda, is currently hosting an exhibit entitled Rapa Nui Spirit, exhibiting some 300 historical items from Easter Island. All right, well, this next video that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com, and it is an autopsy of what is supposedly an alien fetus, and it's graphic. It really is. It's quite graphic. It's kind of gross, actually, but there's a couple videos there for you to go take a look at, and it basically, it says, here's the rundown of the story. The second video is somewhat graphic, just a warning. It's an alien fetus that they do an autopsy on. I don't want to get into it because it is rather graphic. I just wanted to mention it. I'll post a link up to it so you guys can go and take a look at what they're calling the autopsy of an alien fetus. All right, now the next article that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of NBCBayArea.com, and it was sent to me by Gator Bobo. And basically, it's a massive squid that washed up on a beach in the aftermath of an earthquake. Jumbo Humboldt squid washes up minutes after a 4.0 earthquake hit off the coast of La Jolla. I mean, it's not too often that you actually see giant squid anyway. It's not too often that scientists can ever really see giant squids, but there's a video of this giant squid on the beach next to the waves. And I mean, why would they normally, I mean, from what I understand, squids stay at relatively deep levels in the ocean. So why would it be washed up on the shore after an earthquake? What could possibly cause these animals to go and beach themselves or just get washed up on shore, go up to that high of a level after an earthquake? I just thought it was really interesting. Like I said, I'll post a link up to it so you guys can go take a look at it. I'm sorry I'm having to go through these so quickly, you guys, but we just got so much stuff here to cover, and we're already running long. So I just wanted to let you guys know what it is. I'll post a link up to it, and you guys can go and take a look at it for yourself. I wanted to give you guys a little heads up on a couple of things that I've found for you guys to go and take a listen to. And one of them is called Universe of Mystery. Mystery.com, and it's a podcast. It's called Universe of Mystery. The guy's only put out maybe 5 shows now, I think, but it's got a lot. It's got good quality to it. It's very mysterious universe-like. Same kind of music, same kind of format to it. If you liked Mysterious Universe, I think you'll really like this show. So go check him out at universeofmystery.com. Now, the next one is called midnightpodcast.com. And I hadn't heard of this one until recently whenever I was reading a new book called Fetidus that you'll hear a promo for here in just a second, but it's Midnight Podcast. And basically, it's a podcast about anything and everything zombie. Now, you guys know I love my zombies. I absolutely do. I love them to death. You know, I'll be listening to it at work this week. So you guys go give them a listen at midnightpodcast.com. I don't have a promo for them yet, but I will eventually. I'll have to bug the crap out of them until they actually send me one. But anyway, go ahead and play a promo for you now for a new book that I'm listening to. And I want you, actually a couple of new books that I'm listening to. But this first one is Fetidus.org.
I didn't think I could trust you. They told me you were a lobbyist.
Odd Blanchard. When you get involved, things always get ugly.
You son of a bitch. You barely made it out of that one.
Just who the f*** do you think you are, Blanchard?
You were going to help me.
Let me explain how things will work from here on out. First, you agree to disclose everything. No exceptions. Second, I officially agree to help you, which I will, no matter where this case takes me. Third, when I solve your little problem, then you agree to help me.
I'm in the same business you are, Blanchard. I try to help people.
He's a very wicked man, but I've got him firmly under control.
It smelled fresh enough. Raw, living flesh. It was an odor that reminded me of an unkempt morgue. I liked it. Find out more about Art Blanchard's latest case and the foundation for the ethical treatment of the innocently damned, undead, and supernatural at fetidus.org.
Available now on podiobooks.com.
Mine!
As day four in the Seventh Son adventure begins, John Alpha's quest for anarchy and genocide enters its final stage. At every turn, the global terrorist has been triumphant. The world is reeling from a nuclear attack. An unprecedented energy crisis is upon us. Alpha himself has exclusive access to the White House and secret weapons primed to propel his conspiracy into the endgame. Amidst this turmoil, the Seventh Son Project's four surviving beta clones must defy their creators and hunt Alpha on their terms. Their mission? To stop the greatest assassination plot in history. The secrets John and his brothers discover will press them toward a final battle with their progenitor. A battle in which the clones are outgunned, outnumbered, and out of time. Seventh Son, Book 3, Destruction, is the final chapter in J.C. Hutchins' chart-topping audiobook thriller trilogy. Find the entire series, including Book 1, Descent, and Book 2, Deceit, at jchutchins.net and at audiobooks.com.
Available now on audiobooks.com.
In a world where Jack Palms.
Not now. My employer requires your services. Immediately. You tell T. Morris that his strong-arm tactics may have worked on Scott Sigler, J.C. Hutchins, and Mer Lafferty, but I'm recording a promo for Seth Harwood's Jack Palms 2. This is life. My employer will not be pleased.
You can't just barge into a man's closet or studio like this. Your podcasting dummy of an employer can survival guide the singing sword up his Moravi.
I will tell my employer that you are temporarily unavailable.
I'll tell him myself.
It's a cold world and this is life.
Jack Palms 2, This Is Life.
Yeah!
The highly anticipated sequel to the world's first crime noir podcast novel, Jack Wakes Up, is now playing. Subscribe today at SethHarwood.com.
Boskarova's Vidonia, Dovrish. The rest of you, subscribe now.
Hey, this is Seth Harwood and Jack Palms 2, This Is Life, is now live. Weekly episodes have started and you can get them at SethHarwood.com. I'll see you there.
All right, everybody. I just wanted to say I really, truly do appreciate you coming out and taking a listen to the show. Now, there was quite a bit more that I wanted to include in this show, but we were just running out of time. I'll put them into the next show. That way, we still got a lot of really good content coming to you. I might even just post them with this posting just so you can have some extra content outside of what I was talking about in this episode. Again, I appreciate everybody who emailed in, everybody who called in, Sean from Detroit, Andrea, everybody. Hopefully, I'm not forgetting anyone, but I just really appreciate you guys coming in. Take a listen to the show. If you like the music that's in the show, it's courtesy of the Iota Promenet at iotaalliance.com. There are links in this posting for this episode to download them. There are links there to buy them if you like them. Just go to the 13skulls.com, look for episode number 28. If you like them, you can find the links there to buy them. There are also links on the left sidebar of the13skulls.com. If you feel like signing the Frapper map, please do. I'd love to know where you're listening from. If you feel like giving me a review in iTunes, please do. If you feel like voting for me in Podcast Alley, if you like the show that much, I greatly appreciate it. If you want to shoot me an email, the email is at the13skulls@gmail.com or info@the13skulls.com. You can give me a phone call at 206-338-2205 or 817-986-00. Again, I really do appreciate you coming out and listening to the show. Have a great day, night, week, weekend, whatever it is that you're listening to the show. And as always, I will talk to you guys again, hopefully on a regular basis this time, on another day.
Full size.